are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goetz, and joining us on the phone lines, he's with us every Thursday at 2:30, and excited to have him on once again with football back in the air. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network is with us. Brad, happy football season, my friend.
Happy football season. Yeah, 48 hours from right, well, I guess 49 hours from right now, we'll be on the air. And so that's great. When you go from, like, it seems like a while ago we were at 49 days, and now we're at 49 hours from our first broadcast of the football season. So we love it.
Well, there's a lot to go over. I know there's still a lot to be done between now and Saturday when you guys go on the air from the Auburn Sports Network for the Tiger Tailgate Show. That's at 3:30. You can catch that over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. And it's crazy to think, Brad, that summer workouts have come and gone, SEC Media Days has come and gone, fall practice has come and gone, and here we are. It's game week for this Auburn football team. And so where do you stand in terms of how you feel and what you know about this team going into game one?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because you've got a really good mix of seniors and freshmen, like an influx of new talent and an influx of transfers and guys that have played a lot either elsewhere or here. And I like the leadership from the senior class. I love the talent and the mindset and the willingness to come in and work. These freshmen have come in and haven't acted like they're owed anything just because they were highly touted freshmen, a top 10 class. They've come in and they've worked hard. And so I like where the culture is. I like where the talent is relative to the last few years. And you know, like everybody else, I'm excited to see them actually in that first game Saturday.
Before we talk about that first game, us in the media, and then especially for you guys with the sports network, and just all the access that we get to this team and to the players, and I've given a lot of credit to Hugh Freeze about that, who has given us just so much content and information and being able to talk with coaches and players and things like that. Is there a player that you've had the chance to talk with, Brad, in game prep, you and Andy, that has stuck out to you or something that they happen to say about this team this year?
You know, Jeremiah Wright, who we're gonna profile him, just a short one-on-one interview in the countdown to kickoff Saturday, so between, you know, 5:30 and 6:30. Jeremiah was talking to us today, and after the interview finished, we just kind of casually like, hey, you ready? You ready? And he goes, man, I'm so ready. It's my first start in this stadium. And I hadn't thought about that before, but, you know, he was a depth piece, and he may have started a few road games last year, but he's approaching this. This is his first start inside Jordan-Hare on that offensive line, and he's healthy, and he's so excited to be a part of what this offense can do this year. So, you know, Jeremiah has been one of the more quiet leaders on the offensive line. And, you know, between he and Connor Liu and Dylan Wade and Isaiah Miller, you get a lot of returning experience on that offensive line from last year. And I think he's motivated. I think he's got the right approach to this year. And so I'm pretty fired up. If, you know, just kind of off the top of my head, Jeremiah is one of the guys that I'm really rooting for to have a big season.
And I think a lot of fans are rooting for guys like him and that offensive line, which, look, it's no secret in the past that, I mean, it's a position that Auburn has been up and down in and could use some, you know, some good years. And I think there's a lot of good players on this team in that rotation. And so I'm hoping that they get a chance to show up and show out this Saturday and throughout this season, which will make the offense better, which is what a lot of people are wanting to see, Brad, between the quarterback and all the receivers and one of the best running back rooms in the SEC.
Yeah, and the potential is there to do it. I mean, I just, you know, with all the changes, and we've talked about it a lot, you know, I've talked about it with you over the last several weeks, that for this offense not to take a major step forward, I don't mean just, you know, 3 points a game, but for them not to take a major step forward would be to disregard like half a dozen different elements that all matter a lot. I think about Jason Campbell, and, you know, it was kind of up and down for Jason in terms of results on the field until his senior year. And he meshed perfectly with his new offensive coordinator, You had a lot of NFL defensive linemen on that 04 team. They had just lost a couple of NFL guys in Carlos Dansby and Dontarius Thomas, and they had that no-name defense, but the offensive line gelled, and Jason really came into his own with his fourth offensive coordinator in as many years. Sometimes it just takes that one perfect match between a quarterback and his offense, and I think the identity of the offense is perfectly suited for Peyton. And I think he's ready. I think the ability is there. The opportunity, the runway, maybe is the better way to say it, is there. And now, you know, it's up to Peyton and the rest of the guys to actually lift off and take off and get up as high as they can go. But they have been given a tremendous runway for, you know, with which to do that.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. And as we're getting into game specific for Game 1, Auburn and Alabama A&M kickoff at 6:30 Saturday night on the Auburn Sports Network here locally on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. A more personal question for you, Brad. You've been around Auburn, loving Auburn, covering Auburn for quite some time. Can you tell us what your favorite opening game was, what year was it, what was the matchup, and why does it stick out to you? What's your favorite first game of Auburn football in a season?
Oh, that's hard. That's a real good question. I think so. There are memories of all of them that are pretty special. You know, being in Arlington for Bo Nix and the comeback.
Yeah.
In 2019 and 2016, we had just switched the multimedia rights ownership group, and it was my first year back after 4 or 5 years away, and I got the timing a little bit off and had to sprint. Our broadcast booth was like at midfield at the time. It was where the Broadway Club is now, and I had to sprint up the ramps on the northwestern side of the stadium.
Yeah.
And I had to sprint up those ramps just to make it on the air for an on-air segment. And you know, it was early September in 2016, and I was drenched, you know, by the time and out of breath. I didn't know that I could do that. If you asked me to do it any other time, I don't think I'd be able to do it. But probably the most fond memory, though, is probably the 2010 season opener. It was our first look at Cam Newton, and he took off on a quarterback draw up the middle and went 70-plus yards untouched. And at that point, even though it was, with all due respect, Arkansas State, we kind of looked in the booth and went, uh-oh, we have something here. That guy didn't – he ran 70 yards like he was out for a morning jog with nobody else on the field. This could be very, very special. You knew it immediately. So these first games, sometimes when you have talent that is just clearly different, there's a presence about them. And we may see one of those types of athletes on the field Saturday.
Especially with an opponent where Auburn is a heavy betting favorite and most are expecting to win the game. I mean, it sometimes, Brad, all it takes is one of those types of plays where it's like, okay, fans walk away satisfied, and as long as nobody gets injured and things like that, that could be all it takes for game one to be a, quote, success.
That's right. And I hope fans are satisfied with a win. And, you know, it should probably be a pretty comfortable win, but and we've been waiting so long. We have been waiting so long, since November of last year, to be at a game inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. 365 days in every year, unless it's a leap year, but 365 and only 8 of those are home game days. So I'm not that great at math. One every 40 to 50 days in the calendar year is a home football game day. So, man, let's get out there early. Let's soak it up. Let's enjoy every minute of it, even though it'll be hot. Let's hydrate now. Let's bring our water, bring our voice, bring our shaker, bring our fandom. This is the thing we wait so long for every year, and I'm ready to get out and enjoy it.
In preparation for the broadcast with everybody there at the Auburn Sports Network, who you guys just do such a fantastic job. It's up there with, and I'm not just saying this to blow smoke, Brad. I really do believe this. You guys do one of the best jobs in all of college broadcasting. I'd put it up there with anybody. I really would. And I know you guys do so much prep, so much work in getting ready for a game like this. What can you tell our listeners who maybe haven't done as deep of a dive on Alabama A&M on what they could see Saturday night?
Yeah, you've got a veteran coach. He's been a head coach at three different levels now, smaller classification, but he's won everywhere he's been. You know, you have a team that isn't going to Auburn's going to outmatch this team physically. Like, if you're going to this game for it to be as competitive as what we'll see next week or when SEC play starts, that's probably not the right approach. They're going to throw the ball a pretty good bit. They have a true freshman starting at left guard. And so my guess is they're going to try to move the pocket away from the left side a fair amount. So offensively, going to throw the ball a lot. Defensively, we're kind of wait and see. They have a new defensive coordinator. And, you know, against Auburn, teams like Alabama A&M have nothing to lose. They're not going to play base defense. They have nothing to lose by going out and taking some risks. And so I think that's probably what they will do. I do think that the game is a lot more about Auburn than it is the opponent. It's usually the case in week one, and I think that's certainly the case against Alabama A&M.
And the game being under the lights with a pregame or a kickoff at 6:30. Hopefully it'll be a little less hot, Brad. I don't know if that's a thing in Alabama at this time of the year, but it is under the lights, which we know weird things happen at that place too.
You know, it's crazy. So if you've looked at the weather for next week, it looks more like California weather than it does Auburn weather for the Cal game, and which is great. Like I don't want to swelter. I don't. It's okay that Cal's getting a break next week, because we're not getting a break this week. It'll be a little better once the sun goes down, once the sun is not just beaming down on you. It'll be a hot day around the tailgates. If your tailgate has a tent, has a covering, then that's great. That's to your benefit, but that's okay. It's August in Alabama, and again, it's an Auburn football home day. Not just game, but an entire day. So we'll deal with the heat. We'll sweat a pretty good bit. And like I say, we'll start hydrating today to get ready and then get a break after that.
You can hear him every single week on the Auburn Sports Network, whether it be Tiger Talk on Auburn football game days throughout the entire season and year, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Okay, tell everybody what they need to know. It's game one in terms of, for everybody, right? It's game one for radio crews, players, coaches, staff, Jordan Hare workers. I mean, everybody's game one. So tell everybody what they need to know in terms of the broadcast, where you guys will be, where they can listen, and what they can expect come Saturday.
Yep, we are going, we'll be on the air at 3:30 Central Time. Would love for people to come and say hello at the stage. Our stage will be exactly where it's been the last 7 or 8 years, across from the student entrance, across from the Cam Newton statue over on the east side of the stadium. So, come by, wave to us. We've got our guys, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell will be there. People usually flock to the stage, get them to sign stuff in commercial breaks and things like that. We have Quentin Riggins, Justin Garrett, Byron Franklin, Harold Morrow, four former Tigers, different eras, all of them from different eras. I'm going to share some stories and some thoughts on this year's team. We really try to put a lot of thought and effort into making it an entertaining two-hour tailgate show that you can watch live. And then, we've got coordinator interviews, player interviews, all kind of stuff in the last hour before kickoff. Come and check us out. If you're not able to go to the game, then we want you on Wings 94.3 as early as 3:30 Saturday afternoon for that pregame coverage.
Brad, do people flock to the stage to come get your autograph?
No, I've signed one autograph in the last 8 years.
So what was it? What'd you sign?
That's how my game day shakes out.
What was it that you signed, Brad?
Oh, it was I don't even remember what it was, piece of paper, or a poster or something boring.
I'll come get your autograph Saturday, Brad. I'll come see you. I'll come see you.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Jacob. I appreciate you're going to be listen, more people will flock to you than they will me show up.
No, I don't think so. Not yet anyway, right? Not yet anyway. Yeah. Brad, appreciate your time, my man. You guys have a fantastic show Saturday. Great call Saturday night, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks so much for your time.
You got it. Thanks, Jacob. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. You heard the man. Check them all out. Okay, Tiger Talk on Mondays from the Auburn Sports Network. That's live at Baumhauer's, or you can catch it on Wings 94.3. And then coming this Saturday, we've got so much coverage for you on Wings 94.3. It really is insane to think about. 5 hours before kickoff. So this coming Saturday with a 6:30 kick, we've got dudes going on the air at 1:30 in the afternoon. And when I say dudes, I mean some dudes, Uncle T-Bone and Jumpin' Jack Hutton. They're going to be on the air 1:30 for Game Day on Wings 94.3, a two-hour preview call-in show that you can be a part of. They'll be on the air at 1:30 talking all the biggest games in Week 1, all the biggest storylines, and getting you ready for Auburn and Alabama A&M. That leads directly into the Tiger Tailgate Show with Brad and Andy and all the guys there at the Auburn Sports Network. And then that'll take you right up to kickoff at 6:30 between Auburn and Alabama A&M. We're going to have that for you every Saturday over on the home of Auburn University Athletics, the flagship station, Wings 94.3. So thanks to Brad for his time. And again, they do such a great job. And looking forward to listening to that on the way into the stadium on Saturday for Auburn and Alabama A&M. We'll take our final break, come back, wrap it up in hour one, because coming up to start hour number two, we've got Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge will join us at 3 o'clock to get things going on hour number two here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7, thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's great, isn't he? I mean, and hey, somebody go get that man's autograph on Saturday. Somebody go hang out with Brad Law and go get that man's autograph Saturday, what, afternoon? Over there at the stadium, east side. You can go check them out. Their setup is really neat. They do a great job. And if not, I'll go get it. I'll frame it. I'll hang it in my office. Maybe I'll hang it in this studio. We got enough wall space in here. I can hang that up in here somewhere. That'll be worth money one day. That's what I always like to say. It'll be worth something one day. So no, we appreciate, all jokes aside, we do appreciate Brad for joining us, as he does every Thursday through football, basketball, baseball season, just getting us up to date on everything you need to know for the upcoming Auburn athletics events. As I said, coming up in hour number two, we're gonna have Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge. I saw him this morning. We had some good conversations, and this is gonna be a fun game tomorrow night. It is. It's gonna be a fun one tomorrow between Auburn High School and Vestavia Hills. That's a really, really talented Vestavia team. And if you saw the final score that they had with Carver Montgomery, don't be fooled, okay? Do not be fooled. There's a couple of things you need to know. Number one is Vestavia is still a really good football team. Two, Carver Montgomery is a really, really good football team that a lot of people were talking about preseason, but I don't think people believed it until they walked out there and won game one. That was in Montgomery. Carver plays at the Crampton Bowl, and Auburn High School will make that trip late in the year, so keep that in mind. But that's a really good Carver team that was given quite a few opportunities thanks to bad turnovers by Vestavia Hills. So they had, coach was telling me, they had a turnover that was returned for a touchdown. They had a couple more that were taken back inside the 20, maybe the 15-yard line. I mean, there were a lot of mistakes for the Rebels of Vestavia Hill to where they just couldn't get out of their own way. And if you know anything about that program, that's not something they do a whole lot. And so don't expect that to be the case tomorrow night. If it is, I like Auburn High's chances. But if they don't, then it'll probably be a dogfight at the Duck. And so coach will join us coming up to start hour number two. We'll talk about last week's win, 49-0 over North Miami Beach. We'll get some updates on some guys, maybe who his player of the week was. I have a feeling it might just be Omar Mapson, who was our Orthopedic Clinic High School player of the week. And then let him tell you a little bit more about Vestavia Hills. I've done my prep, but he knows a lot more than I do. He's a lot smarter than me. So we'll have him join us coming up at 3 o'clock. And then later on in hour number two, I told you, Thursdays are busy, man. We're going to have Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will join us at 3:30, as he does every single week as well. Going to get his thoughts, picks, predictions on week one. Maybe get some thoughts about Auburn, what his kind of his feeling is going into the 2024 season for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers. And I think he's going to be out in Las Vegas. He's going to be attending the LSU-USC game in Las Vegas. I cannot even express how jealous I am of that. A, because it's college football, but B, because it's Las Vegas. So maybe we could send a group Venmo to Chris and have him put something on just for entertainment purposes only, of course. Have him have a little fun out there in Las Vegas. So we're going to catch him before he gets on a plane and does that. We'll have him in hour number two. But again, stick around. Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, will get the hour started talking Auburn High School football as they host Vestavia Hills tomorrow. You can catch that on Wings 94.3 with me and Jack Hutton. No Rob Pate tomorrow. I know. Don't boo too hard. It's okay. Jack Hutton will be with me in the booth tomorrow night. Looking forward to that at Duck Sanford Stadium. That's all coming up in hour number two. Stick around. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
An Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday afternoon as we get underway here in hour number two on the Thursday edition of On the Line as we get Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge on the phone in just a second. We will go ahead and we'll get him on the phone, but want to remind you and just tell you that if you missed anything in hour number one, you can go and catch it with the podcast. You can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also find our SEC Football Challenge is on our station website there at ESPNAU.com as well. That is where you get your picks in. There are a couple of games from tonight, so those will kind of be freebies, but be sure you get your picks in by tomorrow at midnight. You can go and get those in again, ESPNAU.com under the contest tab, and then also find today's podcast where we'll post the audio from the first hour, second hour, all that good stuff, where we talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joined us to talk all things Auburn football as they get ready to take on Alabama A&M on Saturday. So we had him on, got a bunch of information about the Tiger Tailgate Show, about the countdown to kickoff, broadcast information, all that good stuff. Also talked about some of the biggest storylines in hour number one from week one around the SEC and things like that. So be sure you go and check that out at ESPNAU.com. Before we get to the phone lines, though, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. They bring you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. And you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Let's get to the phone lines. This guy joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock, and he's the head coach of Auburn High School football, Coach Keith Etheridge. Man, it's great to talk to you, and how are you on this Thursday?
What's up, Jacob? How you doing, brother?
Doing fantastic, man. It's another day in paradise and one day closer to Auburn High School football as you guys get back inside Duck Sanford Stadium tomorrow night.
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. You know, cannot wait to get back in there. Got a great team coming in to play. You know, Vestavia's got so much tradition and, you know, such a good ball team, man. It's gonna be a great football game Friday night. Cannot wait.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and everybody, if you can't make it to the Duck, because tickets are hard to come by now, and that Vestavia fan base is going to travel. We know that. If they can't make it to the Duck, they can listen to our broadcast over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. Pregame 6:30 and kickoff at 7. Before we talk Vestavia, though, let's recap what happened a week ago, Coach. You guys opened up the season 49-0 over the Chargers of North Miami Beach. What'd you see from your squad?
Well, I think we played a really good game in all three aspects. I think our defense
you know, flew around to the football. Our offense played fast and physical, and special teams played really well. So really impressed by you know, a lot of times in those first games, you have a lot of pregame jitters and, you know, some pre-snap penalties, maybe some turnovers, things like that. And our guys came in and, you know, they handled themselves like veterans, you know, came in, took care of business, you know. You know, we got a lot of guys in the second half, but a lot of our starters didn't even play the second half. You know, they just played a half of football. And, you know, it kind of worries you going into the second game because, you know, you didn't make those mistakes. And you're like, well, we don't need to make them this game because we're playing a really good Vestavia team. And, you know, we're going to have to play a complete game. And, you know, so, you know, you hope that just playing that half doesn't hurt you a little bit coming into this game.
Yeah, how do you kind of adjust for that and get your guys ready for what you would expect to be a full four-quarter game for your starters? I mean, look, if you guys want to do that in week two, that's fine, and you know, go up 40-something to nothing in the first half. That's okay. We'll be cool with that. But how do you talk to your guys and tell them, look, you got to be prepared to play a full game against a really talented Vestavia team?
Yeah, Vestavia's, you know, they've got some talent, and they're also so well coached. You know, Coach Robert Evans does an unbelievable job with those guys over there. And you know, it's such a historic program. You know, a lot of good people over there. Great, they got great leadership. Their superintendent, their athletic director, Myra Mile. I mean, they've got just great people over there. So, just we have to come in and play a complete game. You know, and I think that our guys understand that. We've been preaching that all week. You know, it's going to be a four-quarter game, and we're going to have to be one of those teams that find ways to win in the fourth quarter because our schedule is brutal. You know, you're not going to get through this schedule without being tested for sure. And this is going to be one of those nights. We're going to get tested by Vestavia, and you know, it's going to be who makes the least amount of mistakes, who comes in and plays clean football. And you know, I think that they have some really good athletes and they're really well coached, so we got to be ready to play.
It was a 49-0 victory a week ago against North Miami Beach. Not all 49 of those points were by the offense, though, Coach. A little scoop and score on the defensive side will always make you smile.
Oh, absolutely. And we had a punt return that was called back.
Yes.
You know, Peyton Plott is electric. I think you're going to see that a lot this year. You may see some teams trying to kick away from him and stuff because, you know, if he gets the ball in his hand, he is dangerous. So, you know, the scoop and score, I thought that was huge for us. I think that, you know, our defense is, you're going to see that this year. I think our defense flies to the football and they'll cause some turnovers. And, you know, we had a couple of chances for some interceptions. Would love to make some plays on those when we get those opportunities. And, you know, usually we do. At practice, we've been doing a really good job when we get opportunities like that of making those plays. But like I said, you know, that first game, you know, you sort of get some of them jitters out and things like that. So hopefully we can come up with those plays this week.
And I don't think there's enough positive words in the dictionary to talk about Omar Mapson and what he means to you and this team and what he did a week ago with four rushing scores in the first half against North Miami Beach.
Yeah, I was talking to Scott Bagwell. He's our guy for record book stuff and finding out what, you know, who's holds records and stuff. And he said that Omar tied the record for most touchdowns in a Auburn high school football game in one game. So that four tied it. Now I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, him or Peyton or some one of those guys don't beat it this year. So
they're just electric on that side of the ball. And when you got a guy in Jackson Kilgore who's so experienced and so poised and just so smart, I mean, he makes it look easy, but I know it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I mean, because, he's a veteran back there. You know, he only started in our first two games last year and then, you know, came back toward the end of the year and played a little bit toward the end of the year after that injury. But we consider him a veteran. You know, he, like I said, you know, he's got our entire playbook at his disposal. You know, he's a really smart kid, does a really good job. And having four returning offensive linemen starters coming back, or really three and one that played a whole lot last year and started some games, you know, makes a big difference too. That offensive front had a tremendous game Friday night. you know, we look for the same thing out of them this Friday.
Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge joining us to start hour number two here on ESPN 106.7 during On the Line, and it's always a blast talking with him. And as we look ahead to this Vestavia team, one that's very, very talented, very tough. They couldn't get out of their own way, it seemed like, against Carver Montgomery, and you don't expect those mistakes to happen week over week. And for your guys in particular, Coach, you look at a 49-0 win, and fans on the outside are thinking, man, what a great performance. Nothing went wrong, right? But I'm sure you were able to find a few things you want to fine-tune this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we dropped a couple of interceptions. We had some chances to make. You know, the punt return for a touchdown, the blocking back on the punt return for a touchdown.
Is what they said. You know, they said it was blocking
back. Yeah, they said it was. Well, the guy turned his back right there at the end, you know. And like I told, it's one of them things where, you know, Mike Gunn did an unbelievable job of hustling down the field and, you know, getting it to that last block. But you get if we get Peyton Plott in the open field one-on-one on anybody, you know, I say don't even try to make that block. Try to shield the guy and let Peyton do his thing, because there's very few people that can tackle him one-on-one in the open field.
He's electric, and he's so much fun, and I like watching him with Kilgore just go one-on-one, and look, he had some great throws a week ago, and that offense was rolling, and the defense is just all over the place. We were saying it on the broadcast. I mean, there was never a time where it was just one blue and white jersey tackling the football. It was three, four, five different guys, Coach.
Yeah. We do a good job of getting to the football, and that's what we do at Auburn High School defensively. Coach Goolsby, you know, he just iterates that, you know, day after day, week after week, you know, practice after practice, you know, fly to the football. We're not going to stand around. We're going to hustle to the football. When the play's over, hustle back to the line of scrimmage, get ready for the next play. I mean, he gets after those guys. They do a lot of tempo stuff. You know, a lot of people do a lot of tempo stuff offensively. He does a lot of tempo stuff defensively, you know, to prepare for people who play fast. And Vestavia is one of those teams, they play very fast. I mean, they're getting plays off really quick. And, you know, it shows, because a lot of people have to line up in just their base defense and play against them. And when you do that, you know, you get outmatched and get outflanked, but they play so fast, they kind of force you to do that, you know, if you're not prepared for them.
Well, Goolsby is a fantastic defensive coordinator, and you guys played a really, really good game a week ago, and we're hoping you can do the same thing again tomorrow night. I'm going to ask you this question just about every week, Coach. Yep. What do you guys have to do tomorrow night to go 2-0 and take down Vestavia Hills?
We need to protect the football. You know, no pre-snap penalties, you know, cut down on the mistakes, you know. And when we have opportunities, I've talked about it earlier, when we have opportunities to get turnovers, we have to make those plays. Their quarterback is a really good player, really good athlete. You know, they've got a couple running backs who are really good. Their safety is a really good player. They got a middle linebacker who gets to the football. I mean, he is very, very impressive. You know, he wears number 42. That was my number in high school, and I was telling our guys, I said, he's probably the second best number 42 I've ever seen.
stay humble over there, Coach. I like that.
Right.
I like that. Let him know.
He is a really good football player, and, you know, we've stressed to our guys that we have to take care of the football, and we have to call some turnovers and try to avoid the pre-snap penalties and things like that, because they do a lot of things that can pull you off sides and cause you to jump and things like that. You know, they're very well coached.
Auburn High School hosting Vestavia Hills game two of the 2024 season. It'll be at Duck Sanford Stadium. And, of course, you can catch the radio broadcast on the Auburn High Sports Network tomorrow night, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on Wings 94.3. Head coach Keith Etheridge joins us every Thursday. Coach, thanks so much for your time. Go get them tomorrow night, and go Tigers.
Thank you, Jake. Go Tigers.
That is Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. Man, what a blast it is to talk with him and visit with him each and every week. And I get to go and see him in person. Got to go out there this morning and handling a few things. And they have their brand new practice field that is ready to go. And When I tell you, okay, when I tell you that this is the nicest practice field I may have ever seen, it's unbelievable. Words cannot describe it. The blue is so vibrant and the field looks phenomenal. They got the track going around it. Everything is painted. Everything is just really, really good. They've got a big fence up around it to keep people out of it, but I don't know if that worked all that well. But you're gonna see some pictures of that. You can find a video of it a little bit as I was able to sit down, or actually stand up, with head coach Keith Etheridge earlier this morning, as we have a weekly video going out on our Auburn High Sports Network Facebook page. You can be sure and go and check that out. Get a little bit of insight, a little bit more insight if you want, on Auburn High football as they take on Vestavia Hills tomorrow night. Jack Cutton and I will have the call. No Rob Pate. He'll be back next week, but Jack and I will have the call for you on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com, alongside our other radio broadcast, which is Lee Scott Academy. Christian Griffin will be on the air at Lochapoca as the Warriors and the Indians do battle about 25 minutes down the road. They'll have that for you on AU 100, 100.3 FM and AU100FM.com. And Christian will not be flying solo. He'll have a color guy this week. A color commentator will be with him, Rhett Chrome. So excited for those two to get in the booth as well. Let's take our first break here in hour number two. Come back, have a short segment that you can be a part of if you want to. And then Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. We keep on chugging along here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Rolling on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Isn't Coach Etheridge great? Isn't he awesome? I mean, he is just, he's so fun to talk to, and he's so easy to talk to because he just is, he's one of us. I mean, he's just, he'll tell you what you want to know. He's going to be serious, and he's going to have some jokes as well, saying that Vestavia's got a number 42, is that what he said? And it's the second best 42 he's ever seen in high school football, because that's the number he wore in high school. So, no, looking forward to what tomorrow night could bring. Auburn and Vestavia Hills, the Tigers and the Rebels will go to battle at the Duck. That is the first three games of the season at home for Auburn High School. Last week against North Miami Beach, this week against Vestavia Hills, and then next week, you know what next week is? It's Opelika. That's right. But we can't look ahead to that just yet. We'll have the broadcast for Vestavia tomorrow, pregame 6:30, and kickoff at 7. In hour number one, we were looking around college football in week one. And remember, we're going to make our picks tomorrow. Me, Uncle T-Bone, and Christian Griffin will all be in the studio making our official picks around week one. And you can be a part of that with us at the SEC Football Challenge. That's on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We'll pick all of the SEC games. And then the tiebreaker, looking at it right now, is the Auburn and Alabama A&M game. And so you can predict the score of Auburn and Alabama A&M. Just go to ESPNAU.com, make a quick account. All it is your email and a password, and you can make your picks every single week. Has to be in by Friday at midnight, so keep that in mind. If it hits Saturday, you cannot get your picks in. We will fill ours out live on the show every Friday, so that way we'll be in there. You can see a leaderboard. You can see all kinds of good stuff, and there are winners every single week, okay? Weekly winners, and then a grand prize winner at the very end. All the prizes are presented and provided by University Ace Hardware here in Auburn, Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza, and the Orthopedic Clinic. And it looks like that this week, for week one, it's a $25 Visa gift card by the Orthopedic Clinic. So be sure you get in on that. That's the easiest $25 you'll ever make, ladies and gentlemen. All you got to do is just pick the games correctly. And for somebody that talks about them every day, I'm not all that great at picking games. I try, but college football's crazy, and it's drunk, and it's weird, and we love it. And so we'll have that for you tomorrow, and you can do that with us at ESPNAU.com. I'm looking through some of these games in week one, and you know, you look at what's coming up tonight around college football. There's more games than I thought there was. I'll be completely honest with you. There's a lot more games than I thought there would be. You do have some ranked teams in action. You've got, everybody's going to be watching the Coastal Carolina Jacksonville State game. Everybody's got some dollars thrown around on that. But there are interesting games here. I mean, North Carolina and Minnesota, like, you look at that and you're like, okay, North Carolina by a long shot, but they're only favored by two. I mean, I don't know. We got people saying that North Carolina is going to roll role in that game. I feel that most people, though, they're going to be watching that North Dakota State and Colorado game. And correct me if I'm wrong here. Correct me if I'm wrong. But has America turned on Colorado already? Have they completely punted and given up on this entire Disney-like story that we tried to formulate with Dion and Colorado and Boulder? I mean, I feel like so many people will watch this game tonight, and while Colorado's favored by 10.5, which is not all that much against North Dakota State, who is a good program, won't most of you be cheering against Colorado? Unless you're one of those people that, for entertainment purposes only, you took Colorado and need them to win by a specific number of points for whatever reason. Aren't most people cheering against Colorado? I feel like they are. I feel like most people are just kind of done with it. And, you know, a year ago, it was shoved down your throat as a college football fan. Deion Sanders and Colorado, the next great thing in college football. Oh, well, that lasted about four games until they played a real team. We tried to hype ourselves up for Colorado and Colorado State, which was a crazy game, but we also tried to tell ourselves that Colorado was going to be a playoff team. I didn't, but there were people that did. And then once you just sit back and look at reality for a second, you're like, oh. And it seems to be now, since Colorado can't stay out of the news, they can't stay out of the headlines, Deion can't avoid getting mad at reporters, it just seems that most people don't care. Or even worse, they hate you. Ask programs and coaches around college football, around sports, what's worse. Would you rather be a program that nobody cares about or a program that is hated? I think there's pros and cons to that, right? If you're a player or a coach where it's like, I don't care about you, that's fine. All right, you can fly under the radar. You can do whatever you want. But those that are hated in sports often have more of a spotlight than those that are loved and adored. And think about that concept for a second. You could say the same thing about politicians, I guess, and celebrities. I think that's a good one to put it as well. But sports is for sure falls into that category. Tom Brady. Yeah, he was great. He's probably the greatest of all time. But so many people hated him, and he got more spotlight because of it. Look at Colorado. Look at Deion. Everybody has turned on them and wants them to fail because they think they're obnoxious and they can't stay out of the news. And it was forced upon you. And they may have more coverage and more social media attention than they did last year, if you can believe that. So keep that in mind. That game happens tonight. That's on ESPN, North Dakota State and Colorado. You have games going on tomorrow, a couple of Power 4 schools in action. You have Oklahoma hosting Temple. That is an SEC team, of course, top 20 team in the country. Michigan State hosting FAU. Duke is in action. Wisconsin, if you want to get an early look at the early opponent for Alabama. And because this is not random at all, how about TCU out of the Big 12 traveling to Stanford of the ACC? What? Why? Friday night in college football, and it's TCU and Stanford. Not complaining. I'm not complaining, okay? Don't take it that way. It's just weird. That's such a... It's so many of these games, they just dumped a bunch of names into a bowl and started pulling them out. And like, yeah, TCU, Stanford, that sounds good. Let's play that game on a Friday night for whatever reason. But I can't get away from what's going to be happening Sunday night with LSU and USC. And don't forget that Florida State is back in action this weekend, but they won't play until Monday night on Labor Day. They're hosting Boston College there in Tallahassee. So think about what Florida State's doing. They're opening up the season with back-to-back ACC opponents. That's impressive. That's impressive. Now, Boston College isn't any good, but is Florida State any good? I don't know. Guess we're going to have to wait and see. Georgia Tech would say no. But we'll have to wait and see on that. And while we're on the Labor Day conversation, just to, I think I've already said this, but just to make sure you guys know, Monday, it is a holiday. The office will be closed, but the station will go on, okay? I don't think Doug is doing a show Monday. I'm pretty sure about that, so no Max Roundtable on Monday, but we will be on the air, and the drive will be on the air. So On the Line and the drive, both happening on Monday. So from 2 to 4 and then 4 to 6, we will have your sports talk coverage. So if you're still in town, be sure you have us on. If you're out on the boat, have us on. If you have to work for some reason, have us on. All right, so be sure you continue to do that. We'll recap everything from week one, talking, of course, Auburn and Alabama A&M, which we're going to do a lot tomorrow as well on a free-for-all Friday. But coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast, who is traveling to Las Vegas for the LSU-USC game. And I hope it's as good as we think it's going to be. I asked you earlier, what side of the coin are you on? Do you think it's an offensive shootout or just the ugliest of defensive battles? And I'm starting to pull towards the defensive side for whatever reason. Again, I said earlier, it may not be crazy defensive plays, but maybe it's just bad offensive plays. Maybe it's muffed punts. Maybe it's horrible interceptions. Maybe it's fumbled runs up the middle. Could be that, right? Instead of this massive shootout that we think it's going to be, a 50-50, what if it's not? Good thing is, we'll talk to Chris Gordy about it. See what he has to say about LSU-USC, Miami-Florida, Georgia-Clemson. We'll get his thoughts about Auburn as well, not for Alabama A&M, but for just the entire season in 2024. He hosts the daily SEC podcast. It's Locked On SEC. Chris Gordy joins us coming up next.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins, and joining us on the phone lines, as he does every single Thursday at 3:30, you can catch him every day on Locked On SEC, the daily podcast covering the Southeastern Conference. Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC. Man, we finally made it, and not week zero, it's week one of college football, and there's SEC teams in action tonight.
Yeah, and not the most exciting matchups, right? I mean, I miss about a decade ago, we actually, they prioritized some of these Thursday night games. I can remember, I want to say it was 07 or 08, LSU opened with Mississippi State in Starkville on a Thursday night. And it was like, yes, like, get a conference game right out of the gate. But I don't know, we've entered Cupcake City, and it's a lot of cupcakes. So, yeah, we'll get Arkansas against Arkansas Pine Bluff, and Mizzou against Murray State, and I don't expect either of those games to be competitive, but it'll be a good glimpse on, one with Missouri being a preseason top 11 team, and, honestly, they're probably going to end up being a top 10 team by next week with Florida State already losing week zero. So we get a chance to see Luther Burden, who a lot of people are expecting to be, Heisman contender, Brady Cook, who's one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. What's Missouri's defense look like losing their DC Blake Baker and all the pieces they lost in the draft. And then, a new day in Arkansas where Sam Pittman is obviously one of the big names on the hot seat, brings in Taylen Green, quarterback from Boise State, brings back Bobby Petrino, this time as offensive coordinator to call the plays. And so, yeah, it's, we got two SEC teams in action tonight. Don't expect either game to be, super interesting, but at least, if you're an Auburn fan or whoever, you get a good scouting report on what some of these teams are going to look like.
Well, I've been asking people reacting to week zero with Florida State, a top 10 team, losing to Georgia Tech overseas. I mean, do you think that is a possible correlation or maybe a foreshadowing of what this season could be? Or is that just Georgia Tech being a better football team than Florida State week zero?
I mean, it very well could be. I mean, I heard people tell me all offseason, Brett Key is an up-and-comer, like, watch him at Georgia Tech. And yeah, I think Mike Norvell's a pretty good coach, but, man, they lost a ton. It was funny. I went, in the middle of that game last Saturday, I Googled you know, Florida State players in the draft and go look at all the guys. Well, it was like a dozen dudes off that team. And so, yeah, look, you don't just lose that unless you're recruiting, unless you're Alabama and Georgia, where you're recruiting four-star and five-star, you know, after five-star, that you're just three deep at every position. It's going to hurt. And I think that's what happened. But no, I've had some people asking, is that going to carry over this weekend? You know, Georgia's a favorite over Clemson. Is that going to, you know, could that be a carryover? Could we see Georgia kind of lay an egg and come out flat against a good Clemson team? You know, that's certainly a possibility. But I do know this. I mean, you remember this time, and, you know, we were all hyped up for those week one matchups, and the SEC came out flat. I mean, if you remember, South Carolina lost to North Carolina, LSU lost to Florida State, Florida lost to Utah, and everybody was saying, oh, is the SEC overrated and all this kind of stuff. And by the end of the year, you know, you still had Georgia there, you had Alabama there. I mean, you had, you know, some good teams. So I'm just hoping the SEC has a better showing in week one this year than they did last year.
That's a really good point. I forgot about the SEC disappointing and embarrassing itself in week one. And here we are yet again in 2024, where the SEC is involved in basically every big time matchup in week one. You mentioned Georgia, Clemson. You've got Miami, Florida, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, the game that you're going to be at, LSU and USC out in Las Vegas. I mean, the SEC, once again, Chris, has put itself in the spotlight in week one.
Yeah, they have, and we've got some good matchups. You know, it's funny. You know, Notre Dame, A&M, Texas A&M is going to be a really good win. That's where College Game Day will be, and a lot of people will be focused on that Saturday night. Georgia, Clemson at you know, at 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and then, you know, you got a couple other ones, like you said, LSU and USC. That'll be on Sunday night. But to me, the most underrated one is Miami and Florida. I mean, it's, to me, in my mind, it's a must win for Billy Napier, you know, because he's, you know, the other big name on the hot seat this season. And, you know, Miami, it's so funny. I was looking back at it, like, Mario Cristobal has not been very good there. I mean, he had like a 5-win season and a 7-win season. And yet, all because they hit up the portal and they, you know, bought a bunch of recruits, everybody's expecting, oh, Miami's going to be awesome. And I just, like, I look at Cristobal and Billy Napier, I think they're kind of similar coaches. Like, it hasn't been great for either of those guys so far in their places. So, I think what we've been harping on all offseason is Florida's schedule is absolutely brutal. But what we haven't done is taken a step back and said, wait a minute, Florida's actually got a pretty good roster. Like, Montrell Johnson at running back, Trey Wilson at wide receiver, you know, Graham Mertz at quarterback with DJ Lagway, the five-star behind him. Like, you know, they're going to have to stay healthy. They're not very deep on defense. I think Austin Armstrong is going to do a really good job, you know, this season with that defense. But, you know, this is a must-win for Florida. It's at home. It's in the swamp. If you were in Miami, okay, I'd give them, you know, okay, they'd probably lose it. But you're playing at home in your house, you absolutely have to beat Miami in week one, because we know how tough the schedule is on the backstretch of the season for Florida.
Well, the thing that I've been talking about, what's so crazy about the Florida-Miami game is the winner will, yeah, they'll propel themselves and get a nice win in week one. The loser, I mean, I'm not going to say week one is your job is on the line, but that's how it feels, right, Chris? And then here's what's crazy is even if you do win that game, if you're Florida or Miami, you could still go on to lose your job because of the schedules and the lack of talent or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's how important this season is for Cristobal and for Billy Napier.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's funny. I mean, week one, as much as we want to put stock in, at the end of the day, it doesn't, you know, it's not going to make or break your season. You know, I go back to 2 years ago, LSU lost to Florida State in the opener, and they still went on to beat Alabama, win the SEC West, and go to Atlanta. So, it, you know, you can always bounce back from an early season loss. But if you're a coach on the hot seat, I mean, yeah, Billy Napier loses this one. I mean, I think the odds are, we're talking by week six, week seven, he's not even the head coach of Florida anymore. So, wow. Yeah, some changes could be made.
There's so many other games in week one. We'll get to those in just a second as we talk with Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC. But coming out of the summer and fall practices, as everybody getting ready for week one of college football, the biggest storylines to you, Chris, whether it be injuries or position battles or possible suspensions in Athens, I mean, what is it that you have your eye on in terms of storylines going into week one around the SEC?
Well, what's funny to me is, like, the most intriguing game, like, that I'm interested in watching this weekend is Saturday night. It's Western Kentucky heading to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama. I mean, it's funny. There's a reason why that game is on national television on ESPN. And, you know, because I had somebody ask her, like, why the hell would you put Western Kentucky at M on? I said, because everyone is intrigued to see what life after Nick Saban looks like.
Right.
You know, we need to see what Kalen DeBoer and this system looks like. And obviously all the attention they made about Jalen Milroe and, he's been everything you want in a leader this offseason. Well, you know, we got to see it. You know, Nick Sheridan as the OC and Kalen DeBoer as the head coach. We know what he did with Michael Penix these last couple of years. But we're going to have to see it to believe it. And I said, God forbid, like, can you imagine they find themselves in a dogfight with Western Kentucky and it's like 14-10 at halftime? Like, Alabama fans will be throwing a fit. But it's not the craziest prediction because, I mean, look, TJ Finley is a guy who started at LSU, played at Auburn. You guys know well, played really well at Texas State last year for them, and now he's the starting quarterback at Western Kentucky. So, you know, I brought this up last time TJ Finley was in a game against Alabama. He nearly pulled off the upset and, you know, came very close. Shout out, I think it was Tank Bigsby who ran out of bounds and stopped the clock. But, that one is just intriguing. And look, if Bama curb stomps them and it's 55-3, look, we're all going to go, well, the Bama dynasty isn't dead. I mean, that's going to be the storyline. But that one intrigues me so much because I don't know what in the world this Alabama team is going to be this year.
We got to get your thoughts on Auburn, of course, Chris. They open up with Alabama A&M. It's not a concern in week one, I don't think. We can't overlook anybody here in Auburn right now until we prove that we can take care of business. But in this five-game homestand and coming out of the fall and with the offense seemingly to have the position battles locked up, but I'm sure you saw the pictures of Auburn's defensive depth chart where everybody was listed as a potential starter. Nobody had separated themselves technically yet. Your thoughts on Auburn going into week one and then just ultimately the 2024 season right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all want to see what the wide receivers look like. I mean, it's, you know, I think we all expect Jarquez Hunter is going to be a top five rusher in the SEC this year. And you know, if they come out running the football, great. You know, you move the chains. Let's get Jarquez Hunter some yards because, you know, we want to see what he can do throughout this year. But, I mean, let's be real. The fans want to see Peyton Thorne throw the football, and they want to see these big, you know, big-time recruits and big-time transfer wide receivers that they brought in catch the football. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm predicting Auburn, when they get the ball first, it's the first play is going to be a run play, but if Hugh Freeze really wants to electrify the crowd and get the fans fired up, he'll come out throwing. And look, Peyton Thorne's got to prove to the fans too, right? I mean, like, I know it's an inferior opponent, but he's got to come out and have a really good day and show everybody I'm a new Peyton Thorne. This is more the guy from Michigan State you're getting, not the guy that you saw at Auburn last year. And, you know, let's get the ball in the hands of these weapons. And I know, you know, and I said this, I think, to you last week. Like, I don't want to hear anything about, well, Cam Coleman's still a freshman. He's still learning. Like, no, get these guys out there. Get them the football. And, you know, and again, like, I expect Keandre Lambert-Smith and those guys, like, we'll see what they do in the passing game, Lewis. But, you know, everybody wants to see this stud freshman.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion here in Auburn this week about, okay, will Auburn keep it vanilla, right? Are they going to kind of keep things under wraps and not let people see a whole lot? Or do they just come out guns a-blazing, like you said, with all those fancy wide receivers? I think there can be a balance with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy, Jacob, is the stat I heard last week in the Florida State Georgia Tech game, somebody said each team had seven possessions, and it's like, God, like,
wow.
with that moving clock now, you know, the clock doesn't stop on first downs unless it's in the 2-minute warning now. So, like, it
2-minute timeout, Chris. 2-minute timeout.
Yeah, whatever. extra commercial. I had to read some article in The Athletic. They're like, it did not add more commercials. I'm like, bro, the clock stopped at the 2-minute warning. They went to commercial. They came back. A team took a timeout. They went to commercial. Like, don't tell me there's not more commercials. Like, eliminate the commercial breaks. It's ridiculous. But, I just, you know, if you're limited with possessions now, like, if you only get seven possessions and you go three and out on three of them, I mean, four of them, you better be scoring touchdowns or it's going to be a low-scoring game. So, yeah, that's where I think, like, maximize what you get. And, you know, It could happen. Like, Auburn could only have a handful of, a handful of possessions, and maybe, you know, they only put up 28 points and we're left going, wait, we wanted more than that. But I'm with you. I think let it air out. Let's see the big play potential and get these fans excited, man. I mean, nobody wants to see a low scoring game against an inferior opponent. Go out there and kick their butt and, you know, let the ball fly.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, with us here on ESPN 106.7. It's time for some predictions, Chris. Let's talk week one in college football. The biggest games around the SEC, Florida, Miami, A&M, Notre Dame, Clemson, Georgia, and then the one that, again, you're going to be there in Las Vegas, right? LSU and USC on Sunday night.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, if I'm going to bet on the game, and I think I might, I bet on Georgia Tech last week straight up, and that one paid off against FSU. I might take Florida straight up against Miami just to, like I said, with Billy Napier with his back against the wall. I think, you know, if you're looking for an upset special, I think I'm going to take Florida straight up against Miami. You know, look, I think A&M, it's really been interesting. They've been a favorite this whole time, this whole offseason. It's been about a 2.5-point favorite. I think last night they even went up to a 3-point favorite. But when I heard Notre Dame earlier this week, they announced they're going to start 3 sophomores and 2 freshmen on their offensive line. I'm looking at A&M's big defensive line. They bring in big Nick Scorton from Purdue in through the portal, who's a sack artist. They have Shamar Turner. They have Shamar Stewart. Like, they have some big dogs still on that defensive line. Everybody talk about, oh, Walter Nolan left in the portal. Yeah, they still have a bunch of other 4- or 5-star recruits on that D-line. And if they get after it, I mean, and you know Mike Elko's specialty is defense. Like, I think they're going to wreak havoc on that Notre Dame offensive line. And so, I don't know, I think I kind of lean the Aggies at home there. You know, I think Georgia's not going to have a problem with Clemson. I've had a few people tell me they think Georgia is going to win big and crush Clemson and come out dominating and really solidify that preseason number one ranking. LSU-USC, I'm a little nervous for LSU because these two teams mirror each other a lot. The defenses were abysmal last year. Both teams lose their Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Both teams started their quarterback who was waiting the wings in the bowl game, and both of them looked good. But at the end of the day, LSU's got a new OC in Joe Sloan. Oklahoma has Lincoln Riley still, and that guy has coached, what, the last dozen or so, you know, Heisman Trophy winners. It's been ridiculous going back to his time at Oklahoma. So I don't know, like, if I give an edge in that game, I think the edge is offensively to USC, but I've heard so many rumblings about how much better LSU's defense has been this offseason with the new coaching hires they've made. So I don't know. I keep going back and forth on it. On our early predictions this week, I gave LSU a loss to USC. So, well, we might stick with that. But, I mean, I'll be there. I'm rooting for the SEC just about everywhere this week.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He's with us every single week here on ESPN 106.7. Man, plug it all. Tell people where they can find you, because now is the time where they need to be tuning in.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube you can hit subscribe and you'll get all our videos there. And hey, one more thought on this weekend, Jacob. We're all Aggie fans on Saturday night. I even had our Longhorns guy at Locked On say he's rooting for the Aggies because Notre Dame needs a loss. What we don't want at the end of the year is Notre Dame sneaking into the playoff and stealing a bid from the SEC. We don't want that. So go Aggies.
Wow. There you go. I like it. Everybody cheering against Notre Dame this season. I'm with you on that. I think if that happens, the SEC could take advantage of it and punish Notre Dame for not playing in a conference. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, joins us every Thursday at 3:30 here on ESPN. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Man, what a great show it was today. And Thursdays, I mean, they just fly by because they're so busy, right? There's a little bit of time for you and me, and we have a good time talking college football and big storylines and Auburn, of course. And then, man, once 2:30 hits, it's on. I mean, it is just guest after guest after guest. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joined us in hour number one. We talked to him about game one between Auburn and Alabama A&M, all the different ways that you can take in their pregame coverage and game coverage on the Auburn Sports Network. Saturday, you can find that on Wings 94.3. We also had Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock. He was with us on the phone lines as we recapped a big commanding win last week over North Miami Beach and got you ready for Vestavia Hills tomorrow. That is Auburn High football back home at the Duck. Three straight home games. This is two of three. And you can listen to that radio broadcast with myself and Jack Hutton. Rob Payton is not going to be with us this week. He will be with us next week. You can catch me and Jack Hutton. He's going to be pulling a double duty, color commentator, sideline reporter, stats. That's like triple duty there. My job is show up and call the game, and hopefully Jack is ready to go, because we're going to put him to work. But man, he does such a great job, and we appreciate him. And him and I are going to have some fun tomorrow night on Wings 94.3, pregame 6:30 and kickoff at 7. And then just got done talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, your daily podcast covering the Southeastern Conference. And you heard some of his picks on the biggest games in week one of college football. And that's what we're doing tomorrow, our first free-for-all Friday of the college football season in 2024. Me, Uncle T-Bone, and Christian Griffin all in the studio on a Friday for 2 hours. We're making picks, predictions, hot takes. I'm sure Uncle T-Bone's going to get somebody fired up tomorrow. That's what he does best. And we'll also talk a lot of Auburn and Alabama A&M as we get one day closer to the Tigers starting off the 2024 season inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. So that's what you can expect to hear on the show tomorrow. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to go and listen to the podcast. You'll find it at ESPNAU.com. You'll also find our SEC Football Challenge on there as well. Be sure you get your picks in before tomorrow at midnight, all right? Every Friday at midnight is when those are due. We have weekly prizes. Thank you to University Ace Hardware, Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza, and the Orthopedic Clinic. So we'll have all that for you on the show tomorrow, but stick around right here on ESPN, because The Drive is coming up. Bill Cameron, Dan Peck, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer joins them. They've got a couple of guests today, including their first rendition of Tiger Takes is back this season, and it is Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante. And it's actually me who sits down and visits with Eugene each and every week. With them having practice in the afternoons, makes it tough for him to hop on the radio, so I take care of that throughout the week. And he's got a lot of good things to say, so hang around. That'll be today at 5:30 on The Drive with Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante for Tiger Takes. That is brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Be sure you check them out at 12ksalon.net. All right, I'm out of here. I got to go. Got things to do. Getting ready for tomorrow, which is when we will be back 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.